part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm gonna do it part. I'm gonna do it part-time. I'm gonna do it part. Fanboy.com.
All right, let's get started.
Woohoo!
This is Part-Time Fanboy, and I am Christian Horn, and I am here with the Part-Time Fanboy crew of Paul Edwards.
Hello, everyone.
Jason Holtham.
Hey there, how's it going?
And Liad Goldberg.
Hello, everyone.
Yay, we're all here. And we are here. What could have brought this many part-time fanboys together? What could be the important event or the big deal?
I don't know what it could be, but I have a feeling that people under 17 should be accompanied by an adult if they're going to be admitted.
Exactly. And to this podcast sometimes as well. We're here to discuss Deadpool because we had never gotten around to discussing it, the huge mammoth R-rated blockbuster that everyone seems to be freaking out about and surprised by in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So,
well, in Hollywood might be the key, you know, the important word there, because all the fans kind of saw it coming.
Well, but did you honestly... Yeah. Oh, wait, come on, guys. Did you honestly all think that Deadpool was going to be like... $600 million, like worldwide? Like, did anyone really think that it was going to be that big, like in this crew? I mean, I figured like it would do well, but I didn't think it was going to do like that well, like Superman of Steel,
right?
You know, or
fair
like
enough.
Captain
yeah,
America.
Enough. Yeah,
you know?
Was it Keith who had gone to one of the preview nights? And he just said that it was like packed. And he said, you know, I have a feeling that this thing's going to be a little bigger than everybody's anticipating.
Yeah, yeah. Keith Howell, he's a friend of ours on Facebook, and he's also a reviewer for Ain't It Cool. His handle is Professor Challenger on there whenever he does reviews, which I don't think he does that much anymore. I wish I knew his site right off the top of my head. He has a site that he'll write reviews on every once in a while. But,
he just was like, yeah, this is probably going to be really, really big. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, when I went to see the movie, I immediately thought, wow, this is really, really good. Like, it's going to sort of have legs, so to speak, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When I went to see it too, I mean, I went to see it like because I'm a parent, not because I wanted to be cheap, you know, it's like the only time I could go was like a 10 a.m. showing on that Saturday. And right. I went by myself because nobody...
That's when I go because I'm cheap.
Well, that too, but you
and
know,
me both.
But movies is expensive. And I went and the theater was not that packed. But it was sort of one of those things when I was watching the movie, everyone was like into it. Like sort of small, like less than half the theater crowd that was watching it, because they put it in like the giant IMAX theater. You know, they were laughing and like cheering and like going like, oh yeah. And like stuff, like people were vocalizing, like saying stuff at the movie, you know, like cheering and stuff like that. So I definitely was, when I was watching it, I was like, just like you, Paul, I was like, oh, if it doesn't open big this weekend, next weekend or the week after is going to be pretty solid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I did not expect it to like be breaking like 600 million or whatever.
I barely expected them to actually make this movie. Like, the story of making this is so crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Deadpool in a terrible, awful, awful form appeared in the terrible, awful, awful X-Men Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
And
it had a good opening credit sequence.
Yes. It had a great opening credit sequence and then went terribly wrong from there. The one of the right things they did was casting Ryan Reynolds, and then they just rogered it so massively, it seemed like that would be gone forever.
Yeah.
And then they leaked that little video, and it was like, oh, well, this video got, like, I don't know, a billion hits in 2 days, and a week later, they're like, I guess we're going to make this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
That this actually is appearing. So that alone is like crazy to me. And then, yeah, I did not expect that it would do this much, this big a business.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to admit that what I didn't expect was to like a Ryan Reynolds movie. That is what I did not expect. Like, and not only to like it, but to pretty much love it. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. Like
really come out and be like, that was solid. Like, I will recommend that to people. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because for me, hey, I don't think I've ever seen a Ryan Reynolds movie in the theater. You know what I mean? And then,
you've been missing out all this time.
For me, there's not a Ryan Reynolds movie that I would really recommend to anyone that I've seen. So for me, this was like a big deal. And, you know, I'm not trying to trash the guy. I mean, he's good looking. I've always known that he had some kind of talent, you know, but it was sort of like a Jim Carrey sort of thing, where he was like a lesser Jim Carrey when he first showed up, you know? And, but man, did he find a character to latch on to?
Well, I feel like he's been playing sort of some version of Deadpool for a long time, you know? And, he obviously loves this character. Like, it's one of those things where it vibes with his sense of humor. It, you know, just works with him on every level. And this is, you know, I mean, he's pretty much was instrumental in getting this made, you know?
Well, didn't he leak the video? Like, hasn't he admitted kind of that he leaked that test footage that everyone went crazy for?
Did he?
I don't know if anyone actually admitted to it, but it's either him or the director. My understanding is that's the rumor that's going around.
Yeah.
Well, good for those guys, you know. It was really entertaining little like a trailer, you know, teaser kind of thing. And a lot of the, you know, what's awesome about it is you watch that and you know exactly what movie you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they delivered exactly that movie, which was also like, that was another thing I found surprising, is that like it came exactly as sold. You know, nothing sort of missing, nothing extraneous. There's no pulling back from it, which I liked.
Yeah.
An interesting thing about Ryan Reynolds, though, is that he now has been in, what, 4 comic book movies?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He was in Blade 3.
Blade 3.
The green space policeman movie whose name shall not be uttered.
Which sucked. And then Wolverine. Which sucked. You know, so his
was his redemption, man. I mean, everyone said that, but I mean, it really is.
Although, I'll be honest with you, I mean, he was quite honestly the best thing about Blade 3. And, you know, like, I don't necessarily feel that, like, it's been, you know, his fault that those movies have sucked ever.
No, but, you know, at some point, I would imagine when you're in this business industry this long and you have sort of the cred that he kind of does behind him, because it's not like he's just like you and me walking off the block taken apart, right? At some point, you got to be like, this is a crappy script.
Well,
like, you know,
to be fair, you know, in the hipster, you know, thing, he was making comic book movies before comic book movies were cool.
Yeah, we'll give him that. He must be a comic fan. Does anybody know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah, he must be some kind of comic book fan. So
he also voiced Deadpool 2 in a few animated things as well, if I remember.
Oh, interesting.
I know for sure that he was it was Wolverine versus Hulk. There's a short movie, animated movie. I mean, it's like 30 minutes, I think. So he did Deadpool there, but I think he also did Deadpool in some other places, some other animated stuff. I'm not sure if he's the voice. I could check it, of course, because we have the internet. But for Deadpool, the video game. So I don't know if he lended his voice for that too.
Interesting. So. But what did you guys know about like Deadpool going in, like the character? I think Liad may be the only one of us that like really knows a lot about the character, right?
I don't know if the only one, but I've been reading Deadpool since, like, I think it was in the 90s is when he started, or maybe early 2000s, when Joe Kelly started writing him. I've been reading since then, so I don't know if anyone else has been following
Yeah, Deadpool definitely came in after my, like, walk away from Marvel Comics. And I always just associated him with Rob Liefeld, who is not, you know, my favorite. So,
yeah.
I did not realize, like, the depths of the popularity for Deadpool.
Yeah.
I had read a few on and off, you know, here and there, and I enjoyed them. But, like, I mean, the only reason I knew that Deadpool was so huge is from going to cons and seeing the number of people who, like, cosplay as Deadpool and buy Deadpool merchandise and things like that. I mean, I've always seen that that's been huge.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just never, like Jason, it wasn't so much, I think Deadpool came along where there was this glut of like X-Men books, and it was getting to the point of where it's like, I can't keep up with everything. And maybe it was something about the design, like the physical design of the character, where he just looked like another ninja sort of like knockoff, not knowing any of the humor aspects or anything.
Oh, well, the funny thing is, if you read, even if you read just the Wikipedia thing on it, on Deadpool, on the comic, like, even Liefeld, I mean, they talk about creating Deadpool, and they talk about the characters, and I mean, it really is, they're like just substituting one character for another. I mean, it's like Deadpool's going to be kind of like Spider-Man and Wolverine, and you know, Cable's going to act as like Wolverine, and Domino's going to be Elektra, the you know, hot femme fatale group. Like, I mean, it's very much like, let's just create these boxes and shove characters in, you know. But later, what happened was, a little bit later, I'm on Wikipedia right now, so, you know, I can cite some things. But Joe Madura, or Mad, Joe Mad, the artist, and Fabian, I cannot pronounce his last name, sorry.
Nisizia or something like that.
Yeah. They did a Deadpool miniseries.
Nisizia.
and then I think that was my first introduction, but later on in like 1997, Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness started a run, and that was a long-lasting run, if I remember correctly. And it was really good. And that was the run that really changed the character and took it from being, I mean, it started off, I mean, Deadpool started off as a Deathstroke knockoff. And that run really completely changed it. Like, completely changed the character, changed the tone of the book. I mean, just really made it, laid the groundwork for the what everyone did afterwards and to what Deadpool has become.
So, I mean, they added the humor element. Am I right, Leon?
Oh, yeah. They added the humor element. They added the fourth wall breaks. And they started, I mean, the longer it went on, the more stuff they added. But they also added other things that I don't think were there before. Like Blind Al from the movie, and his friend Diesel. Those are all in that run. Although it's a little slightly different in the comic. I mean, Blind Al's kind of, we're not sure if she has some kind of power, and he kind of tortures her sometimes, but she also tortures him. So it's a little more in the comic, but, and same thing with Weasel. But, you know, I mean, the relationships though are still there. So he started all that, and yeah, I mean, it's just it starts with character. It starts with comedy. I mean, in the first, I think, issue, he starts narrating. Like, you read a comic, like, you know how you read a comic and there's narration, and it's usually the character's thoughts that's happening, and you read it, and you know, and so there, we start out the issue and you're reading all the narration, and it's, oh, it's the character's thoughts, and then you have the bad guys going, is he narrating what's happening right now? So he's narrating to himself out loud for us, and then the people who hear it are talking to themselves. You know, I mean, it's just one of those great little comedy things that kind of change things.
Well, what's fun about Deadpool too is that, like, yeah, it really did start to play with the form of comics, which, you know, people haven't really done in a mainstream book in a while. You know, like, to make it sort of playful, it's like, hey, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna futz with the captions, you know, we're gonna mess with the narration, things like that, you know, and it really becomes sort of like almost a comic book about comic books, you know, that you're reading.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what makes him an interesting, certainly in the movie, that's what made him interesting, is because it's, you know, a superhero movie about superhero movies, you know?
Yeah.
And, he's, you know, the whole thing of breaking the fourth wall and, you know, communicating like with the audience, you know, I mean, Deadpool, if you think about him in context of like his stories and things like that, he's just insane.
Yeah.
You know, like this thing that, you know, he was already crazy before, but like whatever they put him through, put him over the edge, and he's a crazy character. But in a way, like what I love about it is that they've turned him into a superhero version of Bugs Bunny.
I mean, he kind of is.
Something to that.
Yeah, a little bit of Daffy. It's interesting when you talk about breaking the fourth wall, though, because, I mean, the first time I specifically saw that done and like a comic book talking about being a comic book was a John Byrne She-Hulk, where she would break the fourth wall constantly. She would like be like, you know, not to the extent of what I've learned Deadpool has done, where it seems like he's just like crazy insane, but, you know, she would be addressing the audience. I specifically remember one Byrne book where she like rips open, like, remember in like old comics, they used to have those like double page spreads where it was like Mile High Comics or something, and it was like the list of like prices of comics, and like you could, where it was like an ad where she would like went to the corner of a page, ripped it open, walked through the price guide like two pages, and then like ripped that open, and then went to the other section of the story just so she could take a shortcut. And like, so that sort of thing is like, I imagine this is the sort of thing that Deadpool does, where it's like he's basically talking to the audience, like making a lot of references to the fact that he's in a comic book, like, and isn't this crazy. But the thing that I've noticed about Deadpool the most was that whenever he, because I've only seen him in guest appearances really, and the thing is that he's living in this existence and everyone else is like, what are you doing? Like, everyone else is like really grounded in the story and what's happening, and he is the only one that's like clued in, like, buddy, we're in like a fictional story, like this isn't real, right?
Yeah.
There's definitely a degree of that, and later on, as time went on, they developed that. They developed that more to the point where he start in comics. They changed. I don't know when this happened, but they changed thought bubbles into thought squares. So they're just like thought captions.
Yeah.
So
I know exactly what you're talking about. It was like the highfalutin crowd basically decided no more thought bubbles, but instead they put them in captions, and it was like that was okay. Yeah. It wasn't okay to have a thought bubble, but it was okay to have a caption. Yeah.
Well, what ends up happening is Deadpool, over time, he started talking to his own captions, and his captions would talk to him. And then at some point, there was another caption added. So he literally could have a three-way conversation with himself.
Yeah, it's fun because you can actually play around with a lot of movie conventions, too, you know, in the same way that Deadpool plays around around with those captions and balloons and everything too, which is what they decided to do with this movie. And that's sort of what made it so fun. I mean, like from the opening credits where, you know, you've got those fantastic credits that make fun of Hollywood and make fun
make fun of the Green Lantern and like all that other stuff that he did.
You know, like what's cool is how well Deadpool translates to a movie. Not a lot of superheroes do. There are a lot of superheroes that don't really translate well toward movie or television, and Deadpool's just perfect for it.
Do you think that the breaking of the conventions makes it easier to make a movie out of him, or made it harder? Like, it seems to me like obviously you've got a director who knows the rules, like knows exactly how to craft a film, right? This guy Tim Miller, apparently he's been like an animator and working on movie credit. He's got his own like animation company. He's been doing that for years. But obviously you've got to know who got a guy who knows the solid rules of filmmaking. So I'm wondering, like this breaking the third wall, the, you know, slow-mo stuff, like especially that opening credit, and then going back and forth in the narrative, which I just thought was awesome. Like at, when they get to the point in the movie where they were in the beginning, you know what I mean? And he's, and he's like, he's like, and you pretty much know where this goes from here. You know, I'm wondering if that craziness makes it easier to just like break the rules of conventional filmmaking, because, you know, a lot of the other, this is very different than a lot of other superhero movies. It's, you know, kind of an origin story, but they, I mean, it is definitely, but they definitely move events around and are crazy enough within the timeline to where it's like, it's very, it's not Captain America. This is not Iron Man. This is
Man, essentially this movie is two scenes that are connected by flashbacks.
You're absolutely right.
Which is pretty, I mean, it's pretty impressive in like, in terms of like how much story there is, but how little they use. And they're really super economical with it. And what's awesome is, you know, it's not one of those movies where the fate of the world is at stake. You know, it's, you know, it's literally about him just settling scores.
It's a revenge movie. That's the thing that I noticed. I was like, oh, this is like, you know, not like Old Boy or something like that messed up. But it is a revenge movie that doesn't take sort of like the path that other revenge movies where it's like you're playing through the narrative of like what happens, you know, like maybe say something like The Punisher or Batman where it's like my family was murdered, now I'm going to like, it very much starts in the action of things and then plays around with stuff, and it's really kind of brilliant in a way, right?
Totally.
I mean, it's a lot of fun, and I think interestingly, Deadpool in the comics and this movie serve sort of the same purpose at kind of the same time. You know, as comic book movies have sort of taken over like a huge part of pop culture landscape and have gotten not exactly formulaic. I think some of them have gotten serious. Like obviously, the DC stuff is very, very serious and very, very hardcore. But it's also gotten a little bit sort of rote, and we know what to expect, even from the Marvel movies, which I think are all great. Like, there's a lot to say that, like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy is not that much different from the Avengers in terms of tone and style.
With one exception, that they actually have, like, they have a villain that they did not create, which I think is
exactly
the only Marvel movie that has a villain that they didn't create themselves.
That is entirely right. I still love the Marvel movies.
But well, it's Captain America.
I was just saying they're poking fun at that. That like Deadpool did the same thing of poking fun at the sort of seriousness of comics in the 90s, and all of the sort of comic book tropes that Deadpool the movie does. I think that that's another reason why I feel like it sort of exploded in popularity.
Well, and here's a great thing too, is like they did a great job of tying all of the Disney Marvel things in with the other Marvel properties, you know? I mean, this movie sort of, it's like the rug in the dude's apartment. It ties the whole thing together because you've got the wreckage of the helicarrier over here. You know, they never call it a helicarrier. Which is how they got away with it, you know. But, you know, like, it's clear that, you know, this thing takes place in the Marvel universe, which also sort of takes place in the, you know, Spider-Man universe, which takes place in the... unfortunate so far, Fantastic Four universe.
Or the X-Men universe.
Exactly. Yeah. Or the X-Men universe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here's the thing is, well, just going back to the formula sort of thing in a bit, I think Ant-Man very much was the movie that kind of revealed, not, I mean, obviously it's been going on for a while, but very, which I love Ant-Man. I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Yes.
I could take my daughter to it. It was fun. But the thing is it was very much like, okay, we're really slipping into formula here, guys. Like, this is like very reminiscent of like the other movies. It's very, which I guess makes sense because like all superhero origin movies, they're very much the same, right? It's like mad scientist, something happens, parent dies, blah, 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 whatever, family killed. I mean, Ant-Man was different in that it didn't have that, which that was its unique aspect. But in a lot of ways, it's like, oh, there's a mad scientist that I kind of have to stop, and he's a corporate dude, and he's going to... So, but this one really was able to turn things over on its head and kind of like took the origin story in like a whole other way that has probably been more entertaining than we've ever seen it before. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And for me, it's like, I'm hoping that Doctor Strange, which come on, if you're not going to totally mess around with the narrative of the film and like do crazy, wacky stuff and just break
Doctor
the formula.
Strange is going to be so boring if they take it linear.
Yeah, I hope that they don't. I hope they don't. Well, you know, quite honestly, Doctor Strange is like one of those characters that's kind of like wacky, like in concept, but they've just never really known what to do with him, except for like Ditko in the beginning, right? And it's like, it's a character that I've, but if there's any character or any character's origin where they can just go like 2001 on it, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, this is insane, you know? Like the first time you saw 2001, it would be Doctor Strange. So I'm hoping that, you know, Deadpool kind of gives those guys making Doctor Strange a little food for thought, you know, other than making it rated R. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's where they're going with it. Well, they'll make it rated R. That'll make it better.
Let's talk about that because Deadpool is, you know, a rated R movie. And there's a, you know, the famous thing on, you know, the Facebook. They were trying to get a PG-13 version. It's like, oh, give us a PG-13 version.
Yeah,
you know, they were like, no. I mean, they were straight up, this is not a movie for kids. And, you know, despite the fact that I'm sure a lot of kids saw it, in which case, you know, their parents have to explain the Women's Equality Day joke to them.
Or the Morena conversation. Yeah, the Morena Baccarin strap-on moment. I was like, wow, we're going there. And then it was like every Morena Baccarin fanboy, myself included, was sat up and was like, oh, that's what kind of movie this is.
You have my intention.
You had me at hello.
I did not see that coming. Yeah, but I mean, one on Doctor Strange, they hired Scott Erickson, who's a horror director, so I'm hoping that they take it more in that place.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. Away from sort of superhero thing and like invest in magic and horror and, you know, a scarier universe.
Sure.
Which would be great. But the R thing, and here's the thing about Deadpool, besides the pegging and the language, I didn't necessarily see anything here that wouldn't have been appropriate in a PG-13 movie.
I don't know.
I guess if you take out
the top. The violence is pretty over the top, and
yes,
it was
really violent. Dude, there was a lot of sexuality.
Yeah,
in this you know, like that was one of the things that again sort of made it interesting. Is like, okay, he doesn't live in this like sort of sanitized universe, and like, and the relationships that he. I mean, it was a really solid relationship movie. You know, when they made the announcement, okay, this is a love story. It wasn't. It was not a very sort of rote love story, and you did buy into it because of the fact that that they were two really sort of broken, messed up characters that made each other complete, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, for me, I mean, that's adult, you know, that's adult because like, that's not something that kids interested in. Kids aren't interested in like a love story, you know, kids aren't interested in, you know, emotional content really at all, other than like happy and sad, you know? I thought that was very adult.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is it almost feels like this lives, minus the comedy part, but it almost feels at home with the Netflix Marvel shows in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that where sort of the tone, you know, is established, but it's interesting to me in that, you know, you're calling out, Paul, the relationship part of it as being adult. You know, it's funny because I just had a thought and I lost it. No, I mean, it's definitely one of those things where they took time to establish the characters. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like they took time to establish the relationship between the male and female lead, which, you know, didn't happen in like Man of Steel. I'm like, why does Superman care about Lois? Like, why are they like, what is this? Like, there's no establishing of like a spark between them. Like, not even like for a second, you know what I'm saying? And in this movie, it's like, okay, they know what's going to work. I mean, in a way, it's almost sort of like came out of like Titanic, you know, the Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, James Cameron movie, where it's like, okay, we're going to have spectacle, but we're going to have something for the ladies as well. You know what I mean? And not only that, but they made Marina Baccarin's character like really kind of like a strong character. I mean, even though she is a prostitute, you know, but
oh my goodness, you mean they have feelings and are real people too?
I know, exactly. You know,
That's like kind of the cool thing about Deadpool, where, you know, like even like some of the more quote unquote throwaway characters, you know, I mean, you genuinely felt that they had their own, you know, their own lives. It didn't sort of take anybody for granted character wise. And I respond to that. That's really cool. So, you know, I think the big takeaway for every studio in the world is that now every superhero movie has to be rated R, right?
That's what
we learned.
That's exactly how the studio checks them.
God, they're such morons. They really,
hey,
really are.
Batman and Superman? Hey, let's make that rated R. Why not?
See, this is the thing that drives me crazy, right? Like, one movie comes out and it makes like $600 million. It doesn't even get close to a billion, but they, all the other studios are going to ignore like every Marvel Disney release that's come out for the past like couple of years, where each one has at least broken 500 million or gotten to a billion and a half. That's right. And a half. And they're all like, oh, this one Deadpool movie was rated R. Let's make everything else rated R. That'll work. And it's like, you know, what's his name? Devin Faraci on A Birth Movie's Death. You know, he wrote like a really good, and I actually kind of got into a Facebook argument with someone a couple of days ago where they were like, why? Because, you know, Marvel had a press release
I'm shocked, by the way.
Marvel had a
shocked.
I try not to do that anymore, but Marvel had a press release where, and Disney had a press release, or at least I guess Bob Iger, the head of the company, said at a shareholders company, like, we're not making rated R superhero movies. Like, the Netflix things, I guess those are okay, but as far as like big tent, you know, giant, you know, tent pole movies with effects and all that, they were like, no, we're going to keep it PG-13. And that's smart, because it's all about brand. It's all about toys. Mm-hmm. It's all about, I mean, not all about, but that's part of it. And part of the appeal of this, like, the, everyone wonders why the Marvel movies have been doing so well. It's because they've had like 30 to 40 plus years of marketing behind them. They've had 30 to like 40 to 50 years of comic books of people like you and me, you know, in our age range, like 30 to 50, who are like, you know, fanatic about this stuff and know what drives them into it. And so then if you start making rated R movies out of Captain America, you don't get it.
Oh, God.
Because me as a parent, I'm going to be like, Yeah, I don't think that that's a good idea. As much as I love Captain America, I'm not going to take, you know, maybe me being a responsible parent. I don't know. I know that there's people that did take their kids to Deadpool. I don't know. But
I mean, I think that's part of the appeal of the superhero movie is that it is sort of a thing that generally you can take your whole movie going age family to and all enjoy together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or comic books where you know that you're kind of safe in reading something. And like, look, let's be honest. This stuff was all created for kids in the first place. We started reading them when we were 12, you know, and the fact that a lot of us, you know, still enjoy it, it's because, like Devin Faraci said in his article on Birth Movies Death, you know, it's the kid in us. You know what I'm saying? The kid. I don't read. I mean, it's just gone bonkers. Like ever since like Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen, where it's like everything has to be like adult. But the more adult you make it, the more juvenile it sort of becomes. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing that I feel about Deadpool. Like there are certainly like adult themes that come up, and you're right about like the relationship between Deadpool and his girlfriend, whose name I forget, which is whatever.
Morena Baccarin.
I meant the character. I meant the character.
No, I know what you're talking about. I'm just talking about Morena Baccarin.
Even for that, it's still pitched at like I don't know, 17-year-old, like not even like 16-year-old boys. Yeah. Like it doesn't. It's not like we're dealing with actual adult themes. You know, I feel to a certain degree, of course, Man of Steel tries that, but we don't need all movies to be those things.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly happy with Guardians of the Galaxy sneaking in a masturbation joke or whatever into a PG-13 movie that's still pretty sort of rosy and upbeat.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because you talk about that joke in Guardians of the Galaxy. I actually showed my daughter Guardians of the Galaxy like at home, you know, because we had seen Ant-Man. And when Amy and I saw Ant-Man, it was like, why is this PG-13? I mean, there's curse words, but she's starting to hear those at school. So maybe it's okay. And if we just explain and then, you know, I showed Guardians and there's so much stuff, you know, that just flies over their heads that they don't get. Yeah. And then I realized when I was a kid, like there's so much stuff in movies that just, you know, that I was taken to by my uncle, thank you, who took me to like movies that weren't appropriate to me, that just flew over my head, you know what I mean, that I didn't get when I saw it. So there is some of that, and you know, but Deadpool, there's none of that. I mean, there's definitely stuff in there where it's like, no, don't take your kids. Like, definitely don't take your kids, you know. But I mean, it's really interesting. And, you know, what's his face? Ed Brubaker. Like, I remember when that, you know, really esteemed comic book writer, when he found out that Man of Steel was going to be PG-13, he wrote this whole, like speech about like why does Superman need to be PG-13 and it doesn't, you know, that's the thing that I don't get is like, what's a PG movie that came out recently that I saw and I was like, that's PG, it did really well, it works. I know that there was one, but regardless of that, like, you know, why can't there be a spectrum, you know what I mean? And thing that, you know, the announcement that there is a cut of like Batman versus Superman that's R and it's going to be on Blu-ray and, you know, don't worry, so your kids can't get their hands on it, it's still, there's still,
because
this
kids don't know how to use a Blu-ray.
Well, not even that, it's like, and me as a parent and as somebody who's not going to take my kid to see like ultra violent stuff, there's a thing where it's like, wait a minute, there was an R, so what did you have to cut out? And then to get to the PG-13, and when I go see the PG-13 with my kid, is it a hard PG-13 or is it like, how much have you cut out? So it
and
leaves...
for that matter, why did you bother shooting it that hard? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
right.
You know, this was all of this stuff was made before Deadpool was released.
Yes.
You know, and so yeah, like it's sort of weird, and just that announcement felt so reactionary.
Yeah,
you know?
Big time.
Definitely.
Big time. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And there's a wide spectrum of movies, and there is a bit of a disappointment with me sometimes with the Marvel movies, where I remember when Ant-Man was coming out and my daughter had seen some of the commercials and she's like, I want to see that. And I was waiting for the rating to come out and it came out PG-13, and I was like, well, guys, like, come on, make something that, you know, we can feel kind of safe going to see in the theater, because there are a segment of parents there, you know, that do care about what their kids are seeing, you know. Maybe we're in the minority, but I don't know, you know. I don't know.
I mean, look, Deadpool is a great R-rated movie, you know, but that doesn't mean that everyone works that way, you know. I think Batman movies in a way should be sort of like a harder edged PG-13, because he's like the gritty urban superhero, you know. He grew out of crime drama stuff, you know, like the kind of pulp the kind of pulp history that he has was more violent and more, you know, dark. Superman, no, Superman is, you know, he's colorful, he's bright, you know. I mean, that one shouldn't work. Spider-Man, same way, you know. The thing that sort of annoys me about it is about like any sort of like a trend or whatever, you know. I've been having this conversation a bit about the new sort of like artcore horror movies, you know, like things like The Witch, you know, that are sort of like higher end, and you know, where a lot of people they're not scary or whatever, but it's like the whole thing of trying to lump everything into like
boxes,
a trend that you could then package and sell. It's like, oh, we're gonna take all this music and we're gonna make it grunge and we're gonna market it to the kids, or we're gonna, you know, create whatever the hell kids are listening to these days, you know. You know, it's can it just be like a good thing on its own?
Yeah, it's really interesting that you mentioned The Witch, because I saw it the other night. I was supposed to go see Deadpool with a friend of mine again because he hadn't seen it, and I got the times wrong, so I completely screwed up his night. But we ended up going to see The Witch, and I saw The Witch, and while I didn't find it scary, I was like, this is disturbing. Like, this is not something you can take a kid to, you know what I mean? So, and it's really interesting. It's sort of the debate when we were talking about, when I was talking with Ian, who isn't here, about the Dark Knight Returns animated movies, where there is a sort of thing that people don't get, where there's like a tone to a film, where it's like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, the tone is fun and upbeat and like, this is crazy and stuff like that. Where, you know, like, you know, something like Batman can be dark and kind of scary, but not completely, you know, mentally disturbingly horrifying. You know what I mean? And for me, it's like, once you slide into R, that's kind of the territory you're going to. You know what I mean? I mean, like, R, I mean, despite the fact that the rating system is completely screwed up, you know, 100%, a lot of ways, you know, it doesn't take into, you know, Ant-Man is the perfect thing. I mean, I honestly think studios are begging for PG-13s at this point because they think that, you know, kids don't want to go see PG. Maybe PG is like the new G to a generation, where, because I know when we were kids, it was like a movie was G. I was like, I don't want to go see that. That's dumb. You know, that's some like dancing, you know, cartoon character. I don't know what, you know what I mean? Like, there was definitely a point, but the thing is, you know, I think some of the Harry Potter movies were PG, right? Like, maybe they're like hugely successful. Yeah, the first couple.
The first two were, and then they were PG-13 after that.
Yeah, yeah. And
which is legit for that series. Like,
yeah, that's sort of the way the series developed, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It started off like very sort of like happy, magical, and then things went dark. Yeah.
Yeah, but things went dark, but they didn't go like
As he grew up, you know.
Yeah.
Old coming of age thing. Yeah, totally.
But they didn't go like Batman rated R dark. You know what I'm saying? So I agree with Paul, where it's like, and you know, there are a couple of people who, you know, were coming at me and being like, well, you know, the most successful Batman books, those are rated R for sure, like Killing Joke and The Dark Knight Returns. And I'm like, yeah, but they did make again an animated version of The Dark Knight Returns that was PG PG-13. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you can have a balance, you know what I mean? And I've got no problem with, you know, those Batman movies that Christian Bale did, you know what I mean? Or, and I probably wouldn't even show my daughter the first Tim Burton Batman movie just because of the Joker sequence, you know, where he gets his face cut up and stuff. And he's like, that, I watched that like in the past year or so. And I was like, wow, that scene is kind of disturbing, you know? So, I mean, there's definitely a balance, but it's with Batman versus Superman, it's become like, guys, really, like, I don't get it. Like, I'm just like, why do we have to announce that there's an R version? Because it definitely makes people go like, is this one that's coming out in theaters okay for my kids? You know?
Right.
Well, I mean, like someone else said, it definitely feels reactionary regardless of if they shot it before, you know, it really does. It was like, oh my God, Deadpool's successful, so we released this statement, you know. I mean, it had to be that, or at least it seems that way. But like you're saying, I don't know if this, I mean, if you look at the tone of Man of Steel, I don't know that this, you know, Batman v Superman will be all that, you know, safe for kids. Like, I mean, maybe they need to create a new category, start splitting them, start, you know, putting age ranges very specifically or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, no, it's all printed down on, I mean, the bottom of the poster tells you exactly why things are rated what they're rated, you know? I mean, like, I actually saw there was something on Facebook where somebody was sort of complaining about the Deadpool thing, you know, they're like, and they're literally saying, like, wow, I wish that there was something that could have told me that this was inappropriate.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, you mean like an R rating?
Yeah. Well, but it's interesting that you mentioned that too, Paul, because Ant-Man, I specifically looked at it and it said rated PG-13 for violence. And I was like, but it didn't say anything really about language. And I was like, but the violence, that's like violence in Ant-Man is no worse than anything like on Supergirl or like Legends of Tomorrow.
Dude, they kill an ant.
it's worth noting though,
insect
that
murder
movies get in, like, just as an example, Taken is a PG-13 movie. You know,
that
the movie, the movie where his daughter gets kidnapped to be sold and as a sex slave who is addicted to drugs, and he runs around just murdering people left and right.
AKA Last Wednesday for me.
Yeah.
Leaves his daughter's friend to die. Oh no, she's already dead when he finds his daughter's friend. Like, that's crazy.
Well,
wow.
Look, here's my concern. It has nothing to do with the rate. I mean, like, I'm already just worried whether is Batman versus Superman going to be, like, watchable, you know? Like, is this going to be, like, a fucking good movie?
Well, you guys will have to tell me.
Well, you know, we've got an R-rated cut. It's like, well, okay, I don't care if you've got an R-rated cut or a PG-13 cut. Do you actually have a good cut that's going to make sense?
Yeah. Well, here we go. We've taken our Deadpool conversation. We've slid all the way into Batman versus Superman.
We can sidetrack that for just a second, sidestep that and go, well, what about like the movie with Harley Quinn? I'm blanking on the name.
Oh, Suicide Squad.
Now there's a movie that, you know, arguably could be rated R, you know, and still hit the right tone. But I think that one's also PG-13.
Yeah,
right?
They said that it's coming out PG-13. They definitely said, yeah. Mm. It's not a rated R, but it might be a hard PG-13. I know that just looking at the trailer, I'm definitely not taking my kid to see it. But what's really funny is that the Suicide Squad thing offends me less because it's already a concept. Like, I read those comics in the 80s and I read some of them in the 90s when they relaunched the series. And that's a concept that lends itself already to being gritty and sort of like, this is messed up. They're criminals. And if they don't do what the government wants, they will get their heads blown off. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
from square one, you're already like, all right, we're in PG-13. Like, that's it. Like, right. You know what I mean? So it's just really interesting to me that you know, the buzzword has become like R, and it's like, this makes no sense at all. Like, and as far as like, you know, Batman versus Superman being watchable, I mean, the fact that it's like 2.5 hours, no. I'm like, no. Like, why does a Batman versus Superman movie need to be 2.5 hours? Like, I don't get it.
Because you have to have Batman versus Superman, you have to introduce Aquaman, you have to introduce The Flash.
Oh, come on. The Flash would take like 2 seconds.
They already did. He's on the CW and he's awesome.
And you have to introduce Wonder Woman, and then you have to have Batman and Superman fight, and probably fight Wonder Woman, possibly. And also, you have to have Lex Luthor. Oh, and by the way,
Doomsday.
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 They're all going to be fighting Doomsday. So you're getting into that. I mean, honestly, it's getting into like Spider-Man 3 territory, where it's like, right. You know, half the movie we're going to forget about the big bad guy, or we're just going to be introduced to them at the very, very end. It's like, so you're going to go, it's just, I'm afraid it's going to be a mess.
Well, you guys will have
franchise ending. Like, it's just obviously like, it's such a, we need to ramp this up and get on board as everyone else is making more money than us.
Yeah.
From these sort of properties, and like, and just jump on board with both feet. And I can't get behind it. I'm like, I refuse.
Well, I'm with you.
And it's so weird because, we're sliding into a different different conversation, but very quickly, DC, they do such a great job when it comes to their animated movies, and which are fantastic, and they do such a good, and you know, arguably, to a degree, they do such a good job with their television stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like they have great animated shows, they have great CW shows, they have fantastic animated movies. And they all are at a completely different tone to their cinematic releases, which are just completely different and just feel different in every way, and not in a good way.
Yeah, you're like, absolutely right. I actually watched, because I'm the sucker that buys all the DC animated stuff, I watched the Batman Bad Blood thing that came out like a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And they've started doing these like straight to video, like Batman animated movies, and they're sort of like they are interconnected, and they're based off of a little bit off of the Grant Morrison run of Batman, where Damian comes back and like all that stuff, and it was pretty solid, you know. Like, I really enjoy those, and I'm like, and it's PG-13, and it's PG-13 probably because of the violence, and that's it. Like, what is speaking of ratings? There's a really great, what, Paul, you're gonna have to remind me of the title. I can't believe I forgot it. The Japanese movie where they put the videotape in, and if you watch the videotape, you die.
The Ring.
The American version of The Ring is PG-13.
Right.
And that's a horrifying movie. I would not take my kid to see. Like the Japanese version freaks me out. I thought the American version was really done, you know, well, for as well as you could, you know, take it. And it's PG-13. I remember looking at the box and being like, what? This is PG-13? And it's horrifying. You know what I mean? There's no way I'm taking a 13-year-old to go see that.
I mean, there's always been a lot of latitude in, like, film ratings. You know what I mean? Like, back in the day, PG, I mean, look at Jaws, man. You have nudity. Yeah. You've got, you know, some fairly graphic shark violence, you know. That's
shark on human.
I'll be honest with you. If you made that movie today, that would be an R.
Yeah. No.
Right. You know? But I mean, to a degree, feels like it's. I mean, if you go back and look at older movies, there's a lot of older movies that got away with stuff that today wouldn't, because I feel like they were more comfortable with certain things and less comfortable with others back in the day. And it's shifted. So I don't know if I would.
Well, as long as we're all comfortable with pegging, I think that's.
Well, I think that you know, parental guidance used to kind of mean something to some people. That's what it says. It says parental guidance, and then it says parents caution. You know what I mean? And people just stopped paying attention to that. They were just like, oh, yeah, I'll just go see whatever. You know, if it's PG, it's fine. But it does mean, like, hey, parental guidance. You're a parent. Make sure your kid's not sneaking into the movie, which, you know, we all did, right?
Of course.
I specifically remember actually being 13 or almost 13 and trying to buy a ticket to Gung Ho, and the woman not selling it to me when I was a kid. The woman was like, no. And I'm like, but I'm 13. 13-year-olds don't have ID, you know? And she's like, no, you can't go in. It's PG. And I'm like, but I'm 13. And
well, dude, that was my thing. It's like, I remember when The Thing came out, I bought a ticket to E.T. and went into the theater to see The Thing.
That's awesome. Very smart. Very smart.
Very smart.
Oh my God. So anyway, regarding Deadpool, Deadpool is a great movie. I think we feel safe recommending it to anyone that's over 16, 17, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Don't take your kids to see it. And they've already announced a sequel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, I think I just am really hoping that at some point Fox and Marvel, you know, make the deal that Sony and Marvel did together, because I think it would just be so great to have the X-Men and the Avengers Wolverine show up like in an Avengers movie or something.
Oh, that'd be so great.
It'd just be fantastic.
And maybe he'd actually get into the costume too.
Yeah.
Just have him open it in a briefcase. That's good enough, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I you know, if anything, the thing that scares me about the success of the Deadpool movie and the X-Men movies that are coming out, you know, which Age of Apocalypse looks really fun to me, is that because they're so successful, they don't feel the need to go to Marvel. You know what I mean? They don't feel to like co-produce. Like Sony saw that Spider-Man was not making the $1 billion that they thought they wanted it to, and they, you know, kind of went hat in hand, or Marvel and them came together. But it would be really awesome, especially having seen that new Fantastic Four movie last night, to see
braver
Marvel.
Soul than I.
What was that?
You are braver soul than I.
I rented it. So, I mean, I got it off my Netflix account, so I didn't pay any extra money for it. It's terrible, guys. but it would just be so great to see Marvel, you know, make a movie about, you know, four astronauts that tried to go to Mars. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, but Fox is, you know, big success with the X-Men movies may mean that they never do come to a co-production deal or a deal where they can cross over, which is too bad.
But then again, man, weird things happen all the time, man.
You're right.
Like they're making Ready Player One right now. Spielberg is putting it together. And I mean, if you read that book, that thing is a licensing dream / nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, literally when I was thinking this would be an amazing movie, there's no way that they'll ever make this into a movie because of all of the pop culture references that are across the board. I mean, but you know, if you've got the right person who's got the right team of lawyers, you can make anything happen.
Yeah. That's wait.
If you've got enough money.
Wait, what? Can we just talk about Colossus for a second?
Oh, like, yeah, let's do that.
Was Colossus? Like,
that was so perfect.
I loved it. Like, an X-Men character that I absolutely loved back in the day. You know, he wasn't always the deepest or smartest or whatever, but, you know, he had a heart of gold. And just to see that thing come to life and be walking around and sort of play that part of, like, the moral, you know, superhero where it's like, Deadpool, you cannot kill people. You know what I mean? It's just like with the Russian accent and everything. Like to me, it's just like, it's great. It's another example of them just like embracing the property and like running with it, you know? And that's another reason why this movie is so great, because it's like, it just takes what it's got and it runs with it. You know what I mean?
I mean, it was really a good X-Men movie. That was probably the best. I mean, first of all, I mean, they actually gave Colossus like screen time.
Yeah.
You know, which is awesome. But I mean, Negasonic Teenage Warhead too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, perfect little sidekick on there. You know, again, like it was so comfortable in whatever universe it chose to be in. You know, when they announced that they're going to be a love story, they committed to being a love story. When they announced that they were being a horror movie, they committed to the horrific imagery, you know? It was completely comfortable in everything that it did. And that's why I'm recommending it. I just hope that, you know, again, that the takeaway isn't, well, you know, what we really need to do here with, you know, this this Supergirl thing is needs to be rated R, you know? Supergirl needs to be
add more violence.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and that's the thing. I think that's the lesson to take from Deadpool. I think that's the lesson to take from a lot of the Marvel movies, which is like, grab your character concept, figure out what's great about it, not what's broken about it, and then run with it. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, there's a ton of like comic book goofiness in every title throughout the years. But if you look at that goofy or stupid stuff and focus on that and forget about like what's great about a certain thing and what makes it special, quote unquote, Superman, you know, basically. you're gonna lose the audience to a certain extent. Now, Batman versus Superman is gonna make all the money in the world. I think that it will. I'm not gonna.
I don't know.
I know that there's a lot of people saying like that it won't, but internationally,
I know it won't make all the money in the world because I know you're holding on to your $12.
Yes, I hold on to mine.
So there will still be $12 that's still in
$12 circulation.
No, Christian.
Yeah,
I was just saying more than 12 because I've made the same deal. I'm not going to see it unless Christian goes to see it and tells me it's good.
Like, that's the only reason
I would go see it. Yep.
No, that is not. I'm not going to see it, so you're not going to see it.
So
I'll get it off my Netflix queue. It's funny because like a lot of people have come down on me and been like, "What do you mean you're not going to see?" Like literally everyone. Some people have even. I think Ian even said like, "What if I buy your ticket?" I'm like, "Why?" But why? I learned my lesson. Like guys, I learned my lesson. I'm going to tell you the exact moment I learned. Well, I learned. It's a lesson that I've had to learn 1,000 times over being a fanatic moviegoer or a guy who loves movies. But the last time I learned my lesson was with the Michael Bay Transformers movie. And I wanted to see it. I heard Spielberg was producing and I did not like Michael Bay movies, but I was like, I'm going to go see it. You know, anyway, I'm going to go see it because it's got Steven Spielberg's name on it. Maybe it'll be awesome. And some of the trailers look kind of cool the way they transformed. And I remember, I think it came out like 4th of July weekend. It was another movie I think I went to go see by myself because my daughter was a baby and I went and I hated it. I just hated the Transformers. Like I was like, oh, and I was like, that's 2 hours of my life. I came home. I looked at my baby daughter crawling around on the floor and I was like, I am never leaving you again to go see. I'm never losing 2 hours of my life with you to go see some garbage. And I'm just not, there's other things that you can do. Like there was a guy on Facebook who was literally like, and I'm gonna go into a rant now, who with me has been arguing with people like about Man of Steel and how much he disliked Man of Steel. And then like in the next comment, he's like, well, I'll probably go see Batman versus Superman anyway, because you know, I'm kind of curious. And I was just like, why do you, in the whole history of movies, there's gotta be beautiful, brilliant stuff that you haven't rent the African Queen. Go Christian, see the Maltese Falcon.
Christian,
seriously.
One day I'm gonna have to sit down with you and like have an explanation of masochism so that
But I don't get it. There's so many things you could do. Daredevil is coming out that weekend. There's so many. Go out, go to the park, embrace, hug your kids. Like seriously, life is too short. Like
have a cup of ice cream.
Yeah, if you didn't like Man of Steel. deal, or if you're doubtful for even a second, just skip it. Don't, because yep. if you didn't like it the first time, if you didn't like Man of Steel, then there's no reason to support it. Walk away with your wallet. You know, that's the only way that things are going to get better, you know, and if you don't like we have a friend who just keeps, who sees every Marvel movie because he feels like he needs to be informed, but he just craps on them. He hates them. Why are you doing this to yourself? Embrace life. Go stand in the sun. Be free. Like you're not beholden to this. Anyway, go see Deadpool instead. Again.
Anyway. Go out and earn your own R rating.
Yeah. Are you mad? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Are you like me? Are you mad as hell? I want you to go to the window and stand and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I'm not taking it anymore. I'm done.
I'm not going to go see Superman.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm not. Anyway. Oh, this totally turned into a rant against Batman vs. Superman. All right. So this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. I am Crazy Christian Horn.
I am pissed off, Paul Edwards.
Yeah. We are joined by Jason Holtham and Leon Goldberg, who's suddenly gone quiet and is like, I think Christian just lost his mind.
Oh, no. I love your rants. I wish that you, every show was a rant I would watch and listen, you know. To that every time.
Well, in any case, this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy, and what you can take away from it is that I am just as insane as Deadpool. No, maybe not that insane, but anyway,
way to break the fourth wall there, man.
Yeah,
definitely go see Deadpool. It's excellent. It's fantastic, and I highly recommend it. Just don't take your kids, and you know, get the t-shirt, buy the Blu-ray. And Leon, I'm going to have to steal some of those Deadpool comics from you because I want to start reading them. In any case, this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. And we will be back soon with another episode. In the meantime, go on iTunes and give us reviews. Like us on Facebook and stuff like that. I always keep forgetting to beg for people to do stuff. So now I'm begging. So go rate us on iTunes. Go follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We've got all that stuff set up. All right, come back next week for another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
Fanboy.com.